This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. I'm Khoo Suthong, joined by Wong Xiaoning. In about 15 minutes, we'll be talking to Dr. M. Niaz Asadullah, Southeast Asia lead for the Global Labour Organization. And we're discussing with him on the government's decision to freeze the hiring of foreign labour. But before that, markets. Stay tight, Xiaoning, what happened?
It was all in the green because the Dow closed up 0.5%, S&P 500 closed up 0.4%, while the Nasdaq had another stellar day, up 0.7%. Actually, numbers were higher, but they kind of closed off a little bit lower.
Yeah.
I think there are concerns about the virus numbers picking up again in the US. But meanwhile, if you look at Asia, Nikkei 225 closed up 0.5%, Shanghai and Singapore was up 0.2%, Hang Seng had a good day, 1.6%, while the FBMKLCI actually closed down 0.3%.
Yeah, Malaysia likes to go north when the rest of the world goes south, or the other way around in this case. So to join us for more insights in the global markets, our favourite commentator from
They're
Down Under.
They're all our favourites. Don't let them hear that, Chuang.
From Down Under, mate. Jack Hoosey, Director of Strategy at VFS Group. Good morning, Jack. How are you feeling this morning?
Well, I'm a little bit disappointed. I'm only your favourite from Down Under.
Our favourite
over the world.
Global market commentator. So obviously the pandemic has boosted the share price of companies that cater to those working and staying home. Obviously, Jack, Zoom comes to mind, Netflix comes to mind. Our perennial question, is this a sector to invest in for the long term? And what are the names are of interest in this domain?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, when we talk about these stay-at-home stocks, we're talking about multiple sectors. We're talking about eating at home, we're talking about online shopping, we're talking about cloud security, we're talking about mobile phones or chips. So there is many sectors and many companies within these sectors that are going to benefit from, I guess, the new world. A couple that stand out to me, I really like the cloud security space. That jumps out, us working remotely, working from home means we've got to change the way we secure the cloud. A couple of names I look at, there are companies like Zscaler or Okta out of the US. The other area that I look at is online shopping. I mean, we talk about this craze in online shopping pre-pandemic, but we only did 10 to 15% online. I think that's going to continually increase. When I look at some specific areas, I really like what's happening in the Chinese space in terms of digital services. So I'm thinking about companies like Meishuan Jiamping there, Alibaba and Tencent. There's a big digital services war going on in China at the moment, and those companies really stand out for me. And what I mean by that is, Alibaba sells you a shoe online, why not sell you some healthcare or financial services? It's that horizontal integration in terms of what we sell you that starts online. I think there's big growth in that space, particularly out of some of these big Chinese names. And we look at the Chinese sector there, like JD.com, Bilibili, again, Meishuan, some of these stocks have been on a tear, and I think there's actually some really good growth. The other one that I really like that I think is maybe a little bit underplayed at this point in time is the food delivery space. So, eating at home and getting a food delivery is becoming more and more part of our daily lives, and I really like Uber. Now, I do have a position in Uber. I want to declare that, but I really think they're going to do really well around that food delivery space that only is going to increase as time goes on. So, when you look at these stay-at-home stocks, we often think of Zoom and Netflix, but it's actually multiple sectors and multiple companies within sectors.
And Jack, I want to ask about your Down Under Australia, right? Because recovery is beginning to look a bit fragile. You have a rising unemployment, 7.1%, and virus cases spiking again, especially, I think, in Victoria. So is Australia a market we should be invested in, especially when you look at it on a year-to-date basis, the market is still down 10%?
Yeah, it's underperformed significantly. I think we're in the midst of a look. I've been quite optimistic for the last 3 to 4 weeks, and I'm still optimistic about the recovery here in Australia. I still believe we're going to be seen as somewhat of a safe haven. We have seen a spike in cases, but I mean, the rest of the world is seeing a spike in cases. But I feel like we flattened the curve better than most countries around the world. I feel like in terms of social distancing, in terms of getting back to work, we're doing a very good job. Our government's doing a very good job in stemming that issue. We were underperforming before the pandemic, and we are certainly underperforming compared to US markets, which are at all-time highs. But I think this is a slow recovery for us, but I believe it's a recovery nonetheless. If you are looking for some defensive sectors within Australia, I mean, we're like any other country. Healthcare comes into mind, consumer non-discretionaries, and maybe our gold sector, we've got some great gold miners here will benefit out of a rising gold price. In terms of some undervalued plays, And I've said this a couple of times, I really like Australian banks. I think they're undervalued compared to their peers in the US and in Europe. And I believe it's a kind of play we saw during the GFC. They've raised money, they've cut their dividends, which is what they did at the GFC, and they came out stronger and better. So that's a real sector here I really like going forward.
Yeah, Jack, glad you mentioned gold, actually. I think it touched a 10-year, or at least an 8-year high yesterday, north of $1,700 an ounce. What's your sense of the direction for gold? Obviously, it's seen as a safe haven, but at the same time, equity markets seem to be going on a tear as well. So they seem to be sending mixed signals to the market.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing time in global markets, without a doubt. I mean, you've got to look at where gold is positioned right now. The thing about gold and what gold has in its favor is there's no yield around the world. So I think I've spoken to this about before, and I hate to repeat myself, but if you're looking for a safe haven, you've got bonds or treasuries, which are yielding you nothing, and you've got cash, which is yielding you nothing. So the opportunity cost of holding gold as that safe haven is now a lot less because you're not getting a yield on that. So one of the guys that works here is very bullish on gold, and I see no reason why, you know, we're not going to see gold at, you know, possibly past the 2,000 mark by the end of the year. So I think gold is a great play over the next 6 to 12 months, definitely.
But Jack, if I still want to look for yield and I still want to have a safe haven asset, what are my options? Are there any left?
No, there's not much, is there? I mean, there's still some good corporate bonds out there that I think can get you a decent yield. I mean, I look at Aussie banks, you know, you can get a corporate bond here that can lead you, you know, anywhere between 3 to 4.5. I think corporate bonds are probably the last area of a decent yield where you can get some AAA credit rated companies. But you're right, there's not many great safe haven yields left anymore because the price of money is worth nothing. You know, we've got excess liquidity, enormous amounts of central bank liquidity in the market, which, you know, effectively pushes these yields down. So they're very hard to find. But, you know, corporate bonds, I think, are a good place. Some corporate bonds are probably the best place where individuals can find yield going forward.
Yeah, Jake, just going back stateside as well, Thursday, I think, marks the time when the US announces jobless claims data as well as GDP. What's your sense of those particular metrics?
They're not going to be good, but I think we're in an expansionary phase. I think they're going to be better than what we saw last month. I mean, we look at retail sales figures. You know, that was a big increase in the market. The data that I am seeing is pointing towards a recovery and an expansion phase. Now, sure, it is off a low base, but the data I'm seeing, you know, we saw data out of Europe last night, which indicated we're seeing a recovery. I look at mobility data, so people moving around, that's indicating a recovery. I look at New York phase 2 reopening yesterday, restaurants were booking out, again, an indication of recovery. Sure, off a low base, and sure, these figures aren't going to be great in terms of it, but I believe they're going to be better than the month before. And I think that's going to be the common theme here over the next 3 to 4 months. We're going to see a continued improvement in data, GDP, jobless claims, and industrial figures. And again, I think that's going to be good for the market, and the market's going to take that in stride.
All right, Jack, thanks ever so much for your time as always. That was Jack Cousy, Director of Strategy for VFS Group out of Australia. Interesting point of view. He's a perennial tech optimist, I think. He's given us some names in China. Obviously,
Alibaba.
Tencent, Alibaba, Bili, another one, obviously, some gaming online companies. Tencent touched the record yesterday. I think it's twice. It's like worth more than Alibaba now. And of course, yesterday as well, big tech in America, Amazon touched the record high, and Microsoft touched the record high. Apple touched the record high, Netflix touched the record high, but I think gains fade. I think just people are just buoyed by another $1 trillion of stimulus that might pass Congress later this year, according to Steve Mnuchin.
Yeah, that's a possibility, and I think at the end of the day, he brings up a very valid point why equity markets continue to rise, and that is because the price of money is worth nothing.
It's worth nothing,
right?
So one worries about the future of the US dollar,
yeah.
Right?
Theoretically, it should go down, but it is also seen as a bit of a safe haven asset. So every time markets drop, that's actually when you see US dollars actually appreciating.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the US, the 2-year bond sale just was oversubscribed again. It's crazy.
It's just a lack of choice, right? Where can you put your money? there are very few currencies which might give you that kind of stability. So it's all a relative game, right? So maybe you don't really think that the US economy is going anywhere, but you still think, okay, this is better than, you know, getting zero, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a quick point of view on Dell, because it's a bit weird, because I saw this story on Bloomberg, right? They want to try and get rid of their $50 billion, and I just meant reiterate $1 billion, right?
With a B.
Yeah, in VMware. So VMware is a kind of like a cloud software company, right? It's worth $62 billion, of which I think Dell controls the business, and their stake is worth $50 billion. They want to get rid of it potentially, I think, to raise cash, maybe, because business isn't great. They're examining options to sell off their $50 billion stake. It's not the best time in the world to be selling, but it is a cloud business after all.
No, I guess this is on the back of the fact that Dell's market value is $36 billion.
Yeah.
And its 81% stake in VMware is supposedly worth $50 billion. So it's a question of Dell trying to unlock what is the value of this company, which is buried within the Dell organization, right? Which is something that even Malaysian corporates do. I mean, that's why we have Sime Darby Plantation, Sime Darby Property, Sime Darby Corp. Versus one Sime Darby many years ago.
Correct. So the question then is, if they raise $50 billion, what are they going to do with it? What, pay dividends? Do you know what I mean? Or do share buybacks? Or put more money after bad? Because what did they do? They do monitors and flat screens and servers, right? That's not exactly the future. They should just inject their business into VMware and go into cloud full time. No, seriously, right?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Right? Do you know what I mean?
A reverse.
Yeah, a reverse injection. The ignominy of it all, Michael Dell. Okay, 17 minutes past 7, we'll be coming back with Dr. M. Niaz Abdullah Asadullah, Southeast Asia Lead for the Global Labour Organization, and we're going to be discussing foreign labour in the economy. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.